Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Welcome, everybody, to today's show, the 400th live broadcast of the Mark Kohler Show. Wow, what an exciting day. It is also tax day, April 15th. Could it be more ironic that we are celebrating both days today? Well, I'm excited about it, and gosh, I've got so much I want to share with you. I'm so grateful to be here with all of you. It is such an honor to be a part of many of your lives every week, and I know through for some of you it's on the commute, it's on the podcast, it's on the treadmill. Thank you for, you know, just telling your friends and family about the show and what you're learning, and I hope that I'm impacting you and your family in a big way. I'm your host, Mark Kohler, talking about saving taxes, building wealth, protecting our assets, and just trying to live our own little American dream somewhat better, and I hope that many of you are finding that solace, excitement, and energy, passion for life when you embark on your own small business or investing. I just think it's a huge part of building wealth and saving taxes at the same time. So it's life-changing. This is not a boring tax show. It's about how taxes can transform your life. So anyway, thanks so much for listening in. We've got a powerful show planned for you today. I've got one of my most decorated authors ever to come on the show today. We planned it for this special 400th radio show and for tax day, April 15th. We have Sharon Lechter, who is the author of, gosh, how many books? Well, of course, her most well-renowned and well-known book is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, co-author, and with Robert Kiyosaki. And I'll introduce her more fully later with a list of all of her accomplishments and her newest book coming out in just a few weeks, or I should say maybe a month or so. It's about 8 weeks out. Her newest book titled Think and Grow Rich for Women. She is with the Think and Grow Rich organization now, very well connected and just a huge asset to many, many small business owners and just regular tax-paying Americans around the country. So we're excited to have her with us later in the show, and I'm just thrilled to be here for you. I got tons of energy going on. Maybe it's a little bit of my Rockstar Recovery energy drink here, but those that know me know I'm just buzzing with life as it is anyway. So excited again to be here with you. Let's just hit some important announcements, some important updates that I think will help you. And I talked about this in the newsletter that comes out every Tuesday morning. I was up late last night working on the newsletter, and I got to be honest, I stayed up a little later than I should have because I wanted to see the lunar eclipse. I don't know if many of you stayed up late to see that. It was quite phenomenal. The moon was just orange, blood red. It was just unbelievable. And the lunar eclipse wrapped up about 1:15 in the morning. My son Dylan is back from college, and we were sitting out on the deck watching the moon, and then I stepped back in and hit send on the newsletter. So that's what I was doing, working on the blogs last night. So trying to put some powerful information in there for you. Let's hit the deadlines, of course, today, April 15th, the big deadline. If you haven't filed an extension, please do call our office, talk to Deborah Stanton immediately. Remember, even if you can't pay, even if you don't know when you're going to file, at least file the extension, because the late filing penalties compound with the late payment penalties. So it's easy to do, and it'll save you a lot of money down the road, even if you can't pay. File your extension. Another important deadline today, for those that want to make an HSA contribution, this is very important, health savings account contribution. For those of you that may have had a high deductible health care plan last year, which I was one of them, and I have got to go myself. I've blocked out an hour this afternoon to run down to Wells Fargo I'm going to give you this. Here's the steps. This is how easy it is, folks. I'm going to go down to Wells Fargo where I have an HSA account, which you can open up immediately, even online. But I'm going to walk down there in person, write a check, make a deposit, and then immediately the same day or tomorrow, I can pull the money back out and reimburse myself for all of my medical expenses for last year and up until today. And we've had a lot of medical expenses in our family. So what I'm going to be doing is laundering about $6,000 into a health savings account and turn around and pulling the money right back out. So I don't have an extra $6,000 to burn today and just leave in there. I'm going to just funnel it through and pull it right back out. Now, in those years past, or some of you may be able to leave that money in there, you can invest it. You can turn around and take that $6,000 and transfer it to a self-directed HSA custodian and buy a little rental property. Those that have been to my workshops before know that I have a rental property held by my health savings account. I show pictures of it on my little workshop out in Chicago. So you can invest your HSA or just funnel the money through and take the deduction. So I myself, today is the deadline to take a deduction for last year's health savings account deduction, which is on the front page of your tax return. And guys, no matter how much money you make, you will not phase out of this. Mitt Romney and Warren Buffett can take the HSA deduction if they would like. So, well, I don't know if Warren Buffett could, because once you turn 65, you can't. And I'm not sure how old Mitt Romney is. Maybe he's, I don't think he's 65 yet. But anyway, so keep that in mind. If you do file an extension, you can make your SEP IRA contribution later. But if you want to make an IRA contribution, you have to do that today. So for those of you that have a small business, we can backdoor you into a SEP IRA later in the year if you file an extension. But for those that just want to make a traditional IRA contribution, you got to get that done today. Final point on deadlines, and I apologize, it's a big day, right? Today, California residents, for many of you that are listening from California, your $800 minimum tax, even for a single-member LLC or a S corporation, or you've got to send in your Form 3522 and pay your $800 for this year. So there's going to be penalties and interest if you don't. I know I'm giving you some bad news today. You're going to say, why do I listen to Mark Kohler's show, all this bad news? I'm so sorry, but I want to forewarn you so you don't pay more later. So if you are a California resident, make sure that you and you have a California LLC or S corporation, that you file that form. Now, there's a link to it on my newsletter. You don't have to call our office and have us do it for you, but if you're in a hurry and you want our office to do it, we can take care of that for you. I mean, I think $50 or something to just process that paperwork and send it to you and get it done. But that's due today. Final point I want to make, and many of you may have saw the email yesterday, is that if you have an entity, an LLC, that's a single-member LLC, a lot of times, you know, you don't need to file an extension for an LLC that's just going to go on your personal return. It's only S corporations and two-member LLCs or more. But in certain states, it's critical that you file a paper extension. And some of those states are Texas, Tennessee. I'm going to have to pull up my newsletter from yesterday and make sure that we pull that so that I can give you the exact state list. There's so much going on today, it's hard to remember every little thing. So we'll look at that here in a moment, and I'll give you that. So don't forget your deadlines today. Get going on that. Make sure you're on top of it, and you won't miss out. Okay, so here's these states. Tennessee, forget Texas, I apologize. I had that T in my mind from Tennessee. Tennessee, Alabama, and New York. If you have a single-member LLC, no extensions required, but there's a state-specific extension that you have to file in Tennessee, Alabama, or New York. So get in touch with us if you need some help there. Okay, so enough boring bad news regarding the tax deadline day. Many of you are just listening to this podcast later. Rest assured that everything's filed on time and you're happy-go-lucky. That's wonderful. So congratulations. Welcome for all those that are just joining us. It's the Mark Kohler Show, and it's the 400th. Live broadcast. I cannot believe it. I've done 400 live radio shows. It's just unbelievable. So just how time flies. So been doing it for years every Tuesday, and I guess that just shows how things add up. Time goes by. So I want to say thank you to many of you that continue to listen and catch the podcast and spread the good word. I hope to find and have even more incredible guests on my show and try to dig out important, insightful, interesting topics every week for the show. If any of you have an idea and you're like, Mark, you need to cover this on your show, send me an email. I could use it. It's sometimes hard to come up with something fresh and new every week. Okay, so in the newsletter today, I pulled out my hottest tax articles of the year for today's tax day. So these are all relate to today. So I'm just going to highlight these topics, and you can go read them more in the newsletter. If you haven't gotten the newsletter, let me know. Some of these, of course, will, if you file an extension, you can think about these as well. The first and foremost is how to avoid an IRS or state audit. So I go through 10 tips or strategies on how to avoid an audit. And where you're filing your return right now, those are 10 little very helpful tips, I think, that can impact you in a big way. I also reprinted the article on paying your taxes by credit or debit card. I have several clients that are doing that and racking up points for travel, and it's worked out really well for them. So you may, if you have a very active airline mileage, certain, you know, type of reward program, some of you may not realize that you can pay your taxes by credit or debit card, and I give you the links and the procedure for that in the article. Next, I have an article on what to do if you can't pay your tax liability. And folks, we've all been there. I've been there. You know, caught blindsided where I can't make my payment by April 15th, sometimes even by October 15th in years past. We're all entrepreneurs. We get blindsided with ups and downs in our income. So if you're in that situation, the first point I want to make, and you'll see this in the article, is always still file your tax return. It's so important you still file your tax return. And I go through your other options. Installment agreements, they've increased the cap on installment agreements that are automatically accepted by the IRS. Those are fun. And I think it's, did I say fun in a payment program to the IRS? Gosh, sorry, someone slapped me. Get over here. So anyway, but they have some really good installment programs, and there's ways to get on, you know, some sort of offer and compromise if you need, and how to call the IRS and deal with it. So check out that article. And then two more articles there. Again, I threw in a whole bunch. Isn't this exciting? I'm hoping some of you can just flip through and review these articles if you even saw them in over prior months or years. The next one was why being a real estate professional may be a good strategy for you in 2014. Ironically, I literally last night at 10 p.m. had a good friend email me his tax return and go, Mark, please look over this. There's got to be something wrong. I'm paying way too much in tax. I went through it. I said, nope, you're doing your S-Corp, your salary strategy. You did your 401k. You did everything you could. We wrote on auto and home office and everything. But he was still paying a lot. And I said, have you bought your rental this year? And he goes, no. We know we need to do it. We have kids going to college in 5 to 6 years from now. We just haven't started making the plan. And I go, it's time. Being a real estate professional for your spouse could be a perfect fit. And so they're going to actively start researching and seeing if that could work for them and their family this year. And it can help them with their children and tax savings for many, many years to come. They're already putting almost arguably too much money in their 401ks and IRAs. You don't want to get too top-heavy in one investment strategy. And they know rentals are there. Their kids are going to be going to college. And I said, start buying rentals where your kids are going to go. Hopefully, cross your fingers. Last article out there is 5 hot tax deductions to consider before you file. And I'm not going to tell you what the 5 are. You got to go check on the article. It freaking rocks. 5 hot tax deductions to think about. And I even throw in a video here and on the maximizing your dining expense. Many people are not aggressive enough with their dining expense. So I show a little video there. Go straight to YouTube. Give it a like. Give it a share. Throw it up on your Facebook if you feel so inclined. And finally, in my weekly message, I talk about partnering from a legal perspective and tax perspective. If you're going to partner with someone on fix and flips and rehabs, how should you do it? So there's a nice little weekly message there, 7 or 8 paragraphs. Check it out. It can give you a great starting point to go from. So lots of good info there. I've got a couple questions that we'll cover here that are tax-related for the show. I'm your tax tip today. My amazing Kohler & Air CPAs tax team are running around the office frantically, working efficiently and effectively. I want to give them a big shout-out and say thank you. Back at the home office in Cedar City, Utah, they're working so hard. And, of course, I couldn't rip anybody away to come on the show and give us a little tip. They're like, Mark, deal with it. So I wanted to solicit a couple questions from clients for the show, and I've got them here, so we'll go over those in a moment. But so you don't get sick of me, and we get to break the show up a little bit, I'm going to bring on one of our regular contributors, just an incredible advisor and support to our clients around the country, Jaron Bergeson, attorney extraordinaire, and the man, the myth, the legend. Jaron, are you there? Welcome to the show.
I'm here, Mark. I'm excited to be part of the Tax Day 400th episode extravaganza.
Woo, I like that, extravaganza. Now,
yeah.
You know, we did have grandiose plans to do some giveaways. We're in the works of a new jingle to start the show and a little outro. So that's coming, folks. You know, I want to do, you know, like I love Car Talk on Saturday. Do you ever listen to Car Talk, Jaron?
On NPR, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, they do the Puzzler every week, you know, and so I need to start thinking of my own Puzzler, like a little tax or legal question, and the first one to respond during the live show, get them out there with a special gift or some sort of bonus for being involved. So we'll see how it goes. Kind of fun.
I like it.
Well, that's coming, folks. See, you hang on, and this show's going to wow you and rock your life. So we're excited to have you part of our lives. So, Jaron, what's our little legal tip today? What do you got for us?
Well, I had an appointment with a client, a new client. They weren't previously a client earlier this week. And the little blurb in my calendar said that this person, this client, is going through a foreclosure right now and needs asset protection ASAP. And my thought was, yeah, they do, like yesterday or like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's you know, a wise man once said that asset protection is planning before the cause of action arises. It's preventative in nature and requires proactive planning. Even the best planner can't unwise or backdate your transactions to help your help protect your assets after the storm clouds come. And that wise man was Mark J. Kohler on page 119 of Lawyers Are Liars.
Quote my own book for me. Wow. That was eerie.
It was a little weird. I bet that rang some bells for you. Anyway, I mean that's my point. There are limited things that we can do for someone once a foreclosure has already happened, or once a lawsuit has already been filed, or even a nasty letter threatening a lawsuit has been filed because of something called the Fraudulent Transfer Act that's enacted in every state, and I think there's a federal version too, that basically unwinds any of these transfers that you do to try to protect or hide assets once a cause of action is already in place. So my tip is the time to think about asset protection is the time where you think, I don't need to protect my assets. I don't have any lawsuits against me. Nothing's going on right now. There's not any huge liabilities out there. That's the time to think about asset protection, is when those things aren't happening, because once they've happened, it's generally too late.
No, very, very wise advice. And I know it's hard. I want to be the devil's advocate here and just say, we've all been there. We're trying to build up our assets. We're trying to get things going, and then we have to pause and pay for some legal fees for some asset protection. It is a little unnerving. It's not fun, but it doesn't have to be extravagant. You know, Jaron, it's interesting. I was just up in Seattle 3 weeks ago, and I met a client, a husband and wife client, in the hotel lobby, and they were working with a new real estate coaching group that they had been to a workshop at in Nevada. They were back up in their hometown of Seattle. The coaching group was fantastic. I was very impressed with the properties they were showing them and the training they were getting. Everybody needs training, and I thought they chose a good group. The problem was is they got wrangled in by a outbound call center right after the training to set up an elaborate asset protection plan with non-licensed non-attorneys, and they paid close to $5,000 for four entities in states they're not even doing business or not even residents, and it was just And they felt embarrassed to bring it up, but they were like, Mark, try to salvage what we've got here. Please tell us what to do. And they knew. They knew after it was done that it was more than they needed. And I think because of that, many people out there, so here's my point, folks, if you're listening, is because we're afraid of getting taken advantage of or we think it's going to cost so much, we go into paralysis and do nothing and then cross our fingers and hope the foreclosure doesn't come. But, but Jeremy, it doesn't have to be elaborate, right? I mean, there's some little things we can do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are things that we can do that will cost little, if anything. There are less elaborate structures that are just as good, that are much, much cheaper to set up and maintain. There are certain kinds of trusts we can use, charging order protection entities, things that are out there that don't cost a heck of a lot of money, that aren't all that difficult to maintain and understand, that we can do. Now, the reason I don't list off a dozen things that we can do is because everybody's situation is different. And so the kind of portal to get into that asset protection plan for you is an initial consultation with somebody, with an attorney most of the time, that understands asset protection, that can take your situation and tailor a solution that makes sense for you and your assets and your budget. It's not a, like you say in your book as well, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. There's just not one thing or one structure that's going to work for everybody.
Well, wise words, my friend. I love it. Jaron Bergeson, great comments. And, you know, folks, if you're taking just little bites at the apple, check out the webinar series that I have on my website, the tax and legal video series, pick up a copy of the book. And then when you do get those phone calls from those asset protection so-called gurus, you're going to have a few more tools in your toolbox to determine if you're being misled. So you don't always have to use our firm, but at least get some of the education here so that we can help point you in the right direction. Jeremy, great tip today. So asset protection, build your fort before the storm comes. Think ahead, and you'll be protected. I love it. Jeremy, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, folks, Jaron Bergeson at our home office in Cedar City, Utah. If you want to speak with Jaron, just you know how to reach us. If you're getting the newsletter and you're listening to the radio show, you already know how to find us. Please give Jaron a call and schedule a half hour, an hour with him if you need some general advice. Well, folks, now before I get to my questions that have been emailed to me, maybe a couple of you would like to email in a question before the end of the show. I'll try to get to them. That's mark@markjkohler.com. We have many live callers. If you have a question for our guest here in a moment, please press the number 1 and then mute your computer. Or if you're listening on your computer, folks, if you call in, there's a time delay, so it'll be a little bit of a disjointing experience. So if you'd like to speak with our guest here, please dial 646-200-4285 or email me mark@markjkohler.com. And in the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the show, I will cover two or three additional tax tips, and there's some great questions that came in on some tax issues. So we'll save that for the very end of the show. I'm going to keep you hanging on. I apologize. But I don't want to make our special guest wait any longer. She's on the line now in the studio, Lisa Owens, who does such a great job. I need to give her a shout-out on our 400th live radio show. Tell Lisa thank you so much for all she does. I need to just, you know, bring her out and say that. Lisa, we just want to tell you how awesome you are. Are you there?
I'm here.
Thanks for all your hard work. You're the one filtering these calls, you know?
You are so very welcome.
This is probably your 390th show, probably.
Yeah, exactly, probably.
You haven't missed many. Well, Lisa, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, without any further ado, I mentioned it early on for those that were just here at the beginning of the show, our special guest, Sharon Lechter. Now, she is an accomplished author, best-selling books such as Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Outwitting the Devil, 3 Feet from Gold, and Saving Wisely, Spend Happily. She's the founder and CEO of Pay Your Family First. She's a national spokesperson for the AICPA's Commission on Financial Literacy. She's doing so much
youth as well. We're excited to be partnering with her group in the near future to help support young entrepreneurs. And there's some neat things she's doing with those folks. And another little tidbit about her that I think is so exciting, she's also a licensed CPA and a mom. So she is so well accomplished and just amazing. And we're going to be talking about her new book as well here. But first, I just want to give her a big warm welcome. Sharon, thanks and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Mark. I am so delighted to be with you, and congratulations on your 400th show. I'm honored to be your guest.
Well, thank you. We went for our most high-profile guest we could get for this, you know, milestone in our career, and so you're it. So,
well, I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I need to throw this out. Sharon and I ironically had a chance to have lunch together about a month ago, and I don't think I told her this in the lunch, but when I was writing my first book, Lawyers or Liars, my publisher said, oh, you've got to talk to Sharon Lecter. She'll give you some tips. And there was this brief conference call with you, Sharon. I'm sure you wouldn't remember. It was 7 years or 8 years ago where I got on the phone call, and Sharon, you gave me two or three tips, and I was always so thrilled to have gotten your advice. And So I just want to let you know, I've been a fan for years and think you're amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. Were any of my tips helpful?
Oh, I've made millions. It's fantastic. So, yeah. Yeah,
good
it's
Mark.
Incredible. Yeah. Well, I don't know where to start, but I'm going to say happy tax day since you are a CPA. I guess today is not as climactic as it would have been earlier in your career. You weren't up late last night preparing returns, were you?
No. I'm actually sitting here signing some of my own today. But this is also Financial Literacy Month, so the whole month is a special time for me. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk more about your role with financial literacy. I said so much about your authorship, maybe we start there. I guess you've got a new book coming out, Think and Grow Rich for Women. The Think and Grow Rich organization is amazing. Tell us about your new book. When's it come out? What's it about?
I guess it's I'm very, very excited about it. Yeah, I'm very excited about it. It's being published by the Tartar imprint of Random House Penguin, so it's the largest publisher in the world now, and very, very excited. For many years in my career, I resisted doing a book just for women because, you know, I had this, and I still believe that the rules of success, the steps to success, are the same whether you're a man or a woman. But as I get to the twilight of my career, I realize that we do tend to approach those steps very differently. And the original Think and Grow Rich, which I'm sure most of your listeners are very familiar with, came out in 1937. Napoleon Hill wrote it. In that time, the titans of business were all men. So it was written from a male perspective based on research of all men. And so I wanted to look at those same steps of success. So the chapter format is the same as Think and Grow Rich. And I talk about Hill's comments in each of those chapters. But then I address each of those steps of success from the eyes of successful women. And so we talk about how we might approach those steps a little differently, and really through storytelling. It's all about experiential learning. So I want people to see how other women have applied those steps in their own lives to create success and significance in their lives. And so I'm very, very excited about it because my whole goal, Mark, is to change the dialogue. There's so many women out there that are still criticizing each other, or like Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, came out, and she was pummeled by other women. And I want to say, let's stop the criticism. What Sheryl shared was her success that worked for her. Let's celebrate the fact that she's so successful. And what may be the right formula for another woman may be very different, but let's celebrate each other. Let's celebrate our opportunities that we have today that may not have been there 10 years ago, the progress that has been made. Yes, recognizing that there's still a lot more progress to be made. But instead of complaining about where we are, let's celebrate where we've been and where we've gotten to so that other doors will more easily open for us in the future. So that's the whole goal of Think and Grow Rich for Women. I celebrate over 300 women in the book, and I'm very excited about it. It'll be published in June, but it's available for pre-order now through my website, SharonLecter.com/women. We have all kinds of free gifts. So
Oh, I love it. And, you know, as a man, I have to say, I am not offended at all. I consult just as men, as many men as I do women. And I actually, I'm going to throw you softballs, I promise, most of the show here. But I do want to, tell me what you think of this. I once gave a little webinar recording for a women's group. And I had to think deep as to what, when I'm consulting a man or woman, how do they approach things differently? And oftentimes I see, tell me what you think of this, that, and if you address this in the book, how men will tend to be more impetuous and move quickly and decisively, sometimes to their detriment. And then on the other extreme, some women are much more cautious, but to the point of procrastinating and then don't take any action at all. Both extremes are not healthy, but they're very different when I work with men and women, and at least on that topic. What are your thoughts on that? Have you seen some patterns that, such as that, or what are your thoughts?
Well, that's perfect analogy, and of course, you know, all of us can get in trouble when we make a generalization and people feel like they've been labeled, but I think everything you just said is absolutely true, but the important fact is when you can combine the talents of men with the talents of women, you get the best of both worlds. And that's, in essence, the messaging of the book is it's not a male-bashing book at all. In fact, in my afterword, I have quite a few men who are champions for women who've given their thoughts. And so it's a very exciting opportunity for me to highlight the fact that we just need to change the dialogue. And it's the combination. The facts are in. Corporate boards who have both men and women, those companies outperform companies whose boards are only men. So it's not just bringing more women on. It's women and men working together that can create the greatest, so that you have the strengths and weaknesses of men combined with the strengths and weaknesses for women. And the collaboration and that mastermind principle generates much more positive results.
Well, you know, you're opening up just a Pandora's box of just incredible topics. I know that I have twin daughters that turn 18 this year. In fact, I give the kids $50 if they read a self-help book, and then they have to go to lunch with me and talk about it. And Allison, my little trooper, just finished Think and Grow Rich. And I'm not kidding. And I have to take her to lunch, and then she gets her $50. Now, some of you may think that's excessive and you're paying your kids to learn, but you know what? She said, "Dad, that book was amazing," and that just it just gives me chills. But I'm going to make sure she reads your books next. Your book next, The Think and Grow Rich for Women, and I'll take her to lunch and do the same thing. So I just love it, and I think it's so good for women. Now, okay, so as a transitionary point, we've got so much we could cover here. You have so many irons in the fire. Let's talk about your pay your family first, because as you talk about men and women, husbands and wives, you've taken this to the next level with the family and the next generation. Do you mind sharing a little bit of what you've been doing in your organization to help the family unit as well?
Well, and that, absolutely. My company is Pay Your Family First, and it really concentrates on three primary areas. Men, young people, and families, because the name of my company, Pay Your Family First. Children primarily learn from their parents. I'm trying to change that so that we can get financial education in the school system, but it's not there yet. And so we really need to educate the entire family. And with the increase in entrepreneurship, that's my other area, main area of focus, is entrepreneurship. Our country was built on a capitalist system, and we really need to support that. And we need to make sure our children have that ability to get ignited in their entrepreneurial spirit, because traditional schooling tends to impart an employee mindset. And so I'm out to try and change that so that these young people, because they have such incredible opportunities. And right now, the unemployment rate for ages 18 to 24 is at an all-time high. And so we really need to give them the skills to start earning money on their own, because once a child can learn how to make money on their own, it's a gift of a lifetime.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's funny? Just a little inside note again. Some of my listeners might find this interesting. Sharon, if you remember when we were at lunch, you brought this topic up. And I said, paying your kids, I love it. And we got in this, just pulled out napkins and pens and started talking about paying your kids and the best way to write it off. And I remember that as a is a fun, lively debate. And you went on to talk about how scholarships, a lot of kids that have entrepreneurial little small businesses can get very unique scholarships to go on to college, too. Tell us about this little kit that you have, too, if you don't mind. Am I putting you on the spot?
Absolutely. No, I appreciate the opportunity. On SharonLecter.com, I have more information if anybody wants to visit it. But we've created an entrepreneurial kit that can be used with very young children or if it's a young children, there's a whole mentor's guide in there to help you how to guide a child through. And it's seven steps to creating your own business. And, of course, the seventh one is always giving back because charity is a very important part to everything we do. But I think it's a process that's fun, four-color, exciting, takes them through these steps. And at the end of each section, they fill out a form answering a few questions. When they're completed with the entire program, all you do is pull out those seven pages, and your child has just written their first business plan. Now, writing a business plan is intimidating for most adults, let alone kids. And so puts it into bite-sized sections so a child can understand it, enjoy it, and then all of a sudden they have this huge accomplishment. So we have it so that they can start any business of their own. It helps them decide what kind of business they'd be interested in, or you can use it. We actually have a process. You can use it with a gumball machine for younger children so that they can learn the benefits of creating a business, the benefits of understanding direct sales versus passive sales. So all of those elements just gives them an incredible insight into the world of business and the insight into the world of assets versus you being your only asset, creating a business because your greatest asset that then you, Mark, can help them protect.
Oh, yeah, and I just want to echo what you're saying, and I know many of my listeners get sick of me as a broken record, but I loved what you said there too, Sharon, that so many kids, they graduate from high school, and their first thing is run around town and hand out their resume so they can work at a restaurant as a server or something, and they don't think first, well, what could I do to start a small business and start creating some income and maybe enroll in some night classes and keep my college education going, and that mindset, if a parent doesn't pass it on, kids don't even think about it. And it's just, I love what you're doing. That little business plan concept, so fun.
Well, and part of the problem we have today, you know, we all hear the taglines, instant gratification, and, you know, and we've all almost become, you know, they've become just rote passages. But the issue is that when I was young, I'm much older than you are, but when I was young, there were no credit cards. So if I wanted something, I had to set a goal, I had to work towards it, achieve it, and then be able to buy whatever I wanted to buy and celebrate the fact that I did it. But there was this effort of having a goal, achieving it, and then celebrating that instilled that work ethic that many young people today are being robbed of that opportunity, because if they want something, mom and dad go out and get it, or, you know, instant gratification. And so in the process, they're not learning to set goals, work toward them, achieve them, and celebrate. And that's a huge issue in young people today. And it's something that as parents, interested adults, we all need to be aware of that. And I applaud you, Mark. I think the book report is fantastic. As long as we can get our kids to start focusing on what they need to learn to be successful in the real world, you're giving them a head start, a leg up that most parents aren't giving their kids.
No, it's so much work. Yeah, you know? And we think, oh boy, I can barely make ends meet myself, and now I've got to teach my kids this. But it's organizations like yours that are reaching out beyond your family unit and helping other kids that don't have mentors, and just so exciting.
That's our goal.
Yeah. I mean, I just so thrilled with what you're doing. Now I wanted to ask you just kind of an interesting personal question here, too. Of all these books that you've written, which one have you enjoyed? It's not fair to say which one do you like the most. You don't have to respond to that. But which one did you enjoy writing and was maybe one of the most enjoyable book experiences? Is it this newest one, or would you mind sharing something on that as an author for budding authors out there?
Well, certainly. I've been honored to participate and to write 20 books and been blessed that they've all been bestsellers. So there are different favorites based on how I look at it. Probably the most impactful book that I've been involved in for me personally was Outwitting the Devil, which was just released a couple of years ago, and it was a hidden manuscript that Napoleon Hill had written and intended it to be the sequel to Think and Grow Rich, but it was hidden away for 73 years because his wife was free of the title. And the foundation turned it over to me. I was probably only the fourth person to ever read the manuscript, and it was so transformational that it helped me in my own life so tremendously. And I think that it is really awakening the younger generation to the fact that fear can get in our way and keep us from achieving our goals. And so from a standpoint of personal impact, probably Outwitting the Devil is the strongest. From a standpoint of really making me aware of where we are in the world today, I think the Think and Grow Rich for Women was really eye-opening for me. I had my own thoughts because I've been living it for the last 40-plus years and as a professional woman, but to start seeing it through other women's eyes and realizing how women look at success or the impediments to success, it was really eye-opening for me from that perspective. And certainly, having been involved in my very first book, which was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and seeing it become a phenomenal international success, you know, it's hard not to have that as your favorite book. But I think from a standpoint of each step along the way, every book I've been involved in has been as much a gift to me as anything, because it allows me to really evaluate different steps of how people can take control of their financial lives and how to take a complex subject like taxes or you know, investing or finance and break it down into much easier to understand applications so that people can get past the fear. So much, you know, so many books are out there, but they're, you know, people start reading them with blinders on because they're so fearful of what they don't know. And what we need to do is share stories that other people have created success in their lives. And as the stories, the readers are allowed to go on the journeys with other people. And so it becomes unmasking the fear so that they can say, wow, if they can do it, so can I.
Hmm. Now, you said earlier, it's Financial Literacy Month. What are some things that you're doing and others could maybe do to spread the good word? What does this Financial Literacy Month mean, maybe, for some of us?
Well, every April is the National Financial Literacy Month, so you'll see a lot of media around it. You'll see events, and, of course, I'm sure it has something to do with April 15th, today being tax day. But at the end of the day, it's a time for us to really shed the spotlight on things that we need to continue doing. I dedicated my career to financial literacy in 1992, so I'm passionate about it today as I was back then. But it's so important for each and every one of us to realize that we each have a choice. We're either a master of our money or a slave to our money. And so we have to make that decision for ourselves and for our kids. What I'm doing here in Arizona is, this is my third year of doing a statewide financial literacy initiative that we also do in some parts of California and other states around the country, where I have created a board game called Thrive Time for Teens. It's a money and life reality game for kids in high school primarily, and it really focuses on where they are in their life at that point and the decisions that they're going to make, not just how they spend their money, but how they spend their time. And they either get positive Thrive scores to move them towards success or negative Thrive points to dive them into debt. And so in a safe paper money environment, they get to experience what life may be like in the real world. And so we do that all over the state of Arizona at high schools. And then this week on Thursday, we're doing our statewide championship where we bring in kids from all over the state, and we are sponsored by Arizona State University. They partner with us, and those kids will be participating in a three-round elimination, and the top three winners of the event on Thursday will receive college scholarships, which are being the college scholarships I'm providing them will be matched by Arizona State University. So it's a very exciting thing for us to bring attention in Arizona. We were very fortunate in the fact that in June of this past year, we were able to get a law signed and passed through the Congress and Senate and signed by the governor that ensures that financial literacy, financial education is a requirement for high school graduation here in Arizona. And my goal is to be working with other states across the country because money is a life skill, and we have to teach our young people about money.
Yeah. Well, it's all this talk of youth is just exciting for me, being a parent of teenagers and an elementary student as well. But I just felt prompted to bring up this one point, and maybe this will be one of our final comments. I know your time is so precious. You've been wonderful being with us. You know, this morning I had a consultation with a client that was literally in his late 70s, he and his wife, and it was a little emotional for me. I don't think he caught it on the phone call. I've got a cold, so I think I just sounded more sick than emotional. But he was saying, Mark, hey, when the downturn hit 5 years ago, we lost all of our savings. He goes, Social Security isn't cutting it. And we've bought an RV, and we've hit the open road, and we're trying to start a small business, and we're just out trying to make it work. And I was just my heart was really touched of how everybody's in different stages. And as we get excited and talk about some of these topics for youth that need to figure this out and all that, I know you've said it many times before, you're never too old to have that awakening. And sometimes it's in our latter years of our life we have to learn those same financial skills of trying to bring it all together. I don't know, what do you tell the more mature taxpayer, American, that is having to sometimes start over? What would you share with them, some advice or motivation?
Well, I think the first step is to acknowledge where they're coming from, because what's happened in the last 6 years is people who, they felt like they played by the rules, they followed the advice of everybody, put it away for a rainy day, and they've got all this money saved away, and all of a sudden they were downsized, right-sized, or outsized, the market tanked, and they feel, you know, they're angry. They feel, you know, that they, you know, played by the rules, and they're the ones who didn't get into crazy mortgages, and yet their house is underwater. And so, you know, the issue is, yes, you know, you got the raw end of the stick, and but at the end of the day, you know, we all were at levels we've got to start over. And the issue is to give them the opportunity to acknowledge what happened. But also, you know, you're still here. You still have your help. Let's say what it's not as bad as it could have been. And what can we do today? Start moving forward. Because what happens is so many people get saddled with that guilt and worry, and it impacts your health. And it does not do anything productive. So the issue is, what can you do today to make your financial well-being better tomorrow? Let's not think about where our finances were 10 years ago. Let's think about, do you know where you are today? Let's really figure out, take off the rose-colored glasses, this is where I am today. And what kind of lifestyle can I lead in the future? Or how can I expand my means to be able to live the lifestyle I choose and get rid of that guilt and worry? Because unfortunately, so many of us carry that with us, and it causes so much pain unnecessarily, because it's not going to help in any way. Just figure out where you are, get some help if you need to as to where you are today and what you can do, the options available to you to take positive steps tomorrow. And you need to get yourself into positive environments. Start going to seminars. Go, you know, hopefully not the ones that are going to charge you $5,000, but free seminars. Get some free advice. Start finding new things that you can do. It may very well be a small business, or it may be something that you can start doing something on the side while you're still working. But if once you actually take positive steps to do something productive in your financial life, it will give you motivation. It will give you the satisfaction that you're doing something productive, and that will help fuel you continuing in the right direction.
Well, fantastic advice. And I would just add the words baby steps. You don't have to mm-hmm. reinvent your life or career overnight. And those little steps will give you confidence.
I call them little wins, Mark. You know, don't look at the giant picture. Do a little win. A small goal, achieve it, and celebrate the little win. So.
I love it. Fantastic advice. Well, we could, of course, spend all day together. You, of course, have given full-day workshops. You've got so much to share with people that they really need to hear more about. Folks, please get to Sharon's website. Now, that's SharonLechter.com. Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, L-E, C as in Charlie, H, T as in Tom, E-R, SharonLechter.com. You start to type her name on almost any Google search, you'll find her. Get out there, look at her website, because it's really got, it's got so much. I'm just flipping through it right now as we've been talking. The products, the blog, the new book, pre-order. Folks, get over there. I think you'll find a huge resource for you, your spouse, your family, your loved ones. And Sharon, I want to say thank you for coming out, and good luck with your new book. How exciting.
Well, thank you, Mark, and congratulations on your 400th show. That's quite impressive, and I'm, again, honored that you would have included me in their celebration, and thank you for all that you're doing to help the folks that need some good, solid advice, and so you're there to help them. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks. I'm just trying to keep up with you. When I get to 20 books, I'll have another show and have you back, so...
Okay.
It's going to be a long time, I think. You're amazing. Sharon, thank you again. And folks, hang on. We've got some more tax tips before the end of the show, but I don't want to bore Sharon with those. She is CPA. She knows it all already. But Sharon, thank you again, and we wish you the best in your project.
Well, thank you, Mark. You're fantastic. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Well, gosh, isn't that exciting, folks? What an amazing woman, amazing interview, and I'm so grateful that she had some time with us. I made several notes myself here on a yellow pad of things I need to do, and I'm going to go out and buy that book, Outwitting the Devil. I have not read that yet, and I just think Napoleon Hill is amazing, and for Sharon to take something that old, that manuscript, and create a book out of it, man, I want to get that. So, let's hit some of these little tax topics that before the end of the hour, we've only got 7 or 8 minutes, and I thought these were some great questions that came in from a couple of our listeners, and so we're going to hit them real quick here. Now, this is from Joe. He said, Mark, I have a question for the show today. I own an LLC taxed as an S corporation. Okay, very common. In fact, I meet with clients all the time where we start out as an LLC, and then we can make the jump to the S-Corp when the time is right. Don't stress about an LLC being a disregarded entity. You still get the asset protection, you get the tax write-offs, but you don't have to do that extra tax return. That's what the disregarded entity means. But once you make the S-Corp election, you're in a new ballgame. You're playing S-Corp now. He said, Mark, my salary is set around $60,000. Using the one-third split you recommend, depending on the projected income. I have 3 full-time and 10 part-time employees. Would you recommend a simple IRA or a safe harbor 401k as a company retirement plan? The fees associated, I'm going to read into his comments here. He says the fees associated with the SEP seem to outweigh the additional deferral, but I'd love your answer. Thank you. And I think he's talking about the fees of a SEP, or a simple, or a SEP. There are 2 options out there. But the fees of a simple plan are much easier, or much lower than that of a 401k. But then in a 401k, you can make increased deferrals, larger deposits in your retirement account. So I think for everybody listening out here, there's going to be that point when you're saying, hey, Mark, my business is going well. I want to put some money in retirement. Which structure should I use? And if you have the S-Corp going and you have other employees, I think, Joe, that you're considering your 2 best options. The simple IRA is affordable. It's simple, a.k.a. the term. And it allows you to put away, oh, maybe $6,000, $10,000, $12,000, and you can get your spouse in the mix, and not have a huge burden of matching or putting away a ton for your employees. The employees can still put some money away, but it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. So a lot of times I'll tell clients, start out with a simple IRA, and guess what? You can roll it into a 401k when you're ready to go to the next level. So there's no additional cost, no unwinding, no headache if you graduate from a simple IRA plan to a 401k. But if you're saying, Mark, I'm making some money and I want to put away more than $10,000 or $12,000 and my spouse wants to participate, then run the numbers and a safe harbor 401k is phenomenal. That's going to allow you to put away $15,000 to $20,000, maybe $25,000, and then you add that to your spouse's opportunity. It can really blow up quickly and make it very exciting. So, Joe, hopefully those comments help, and many of you out there that are contemplating the same issue. Now, we've got a question here from Chris out in California, and he had a question for the show. Also an S-Corp question. He says, Mark, I have a S-Corporation and decided to pay myself a salary once at the end of the year rather than every month. Do I still need to file Form 941 quarterly to the IRS when there is zero payroll for the first three quarters? Chris, this is an excellent question. And all of you listening out there that may someday have an S-Corp or you're thinking of it or have one right now, is in dangerous waters. You cannot just pay yourself a salary once a year. The IRS does not like that. Think if you were the IRS, would you want the IRS, if you were the IRS, would you want your taxpayer sending you the deposit once a year, or would you like deposits throughout the year? They certainly want it quarterly. Now then you said, but should I do it monthly? No, you don't need to do it monthly. It's kind of, you've chosen two extremes. Do it once a year or every month? No. It's somewhere in between. It's the balance. And that is doing a quarterly payroll. And you do have to file a 941 quarterly, even if it's zero. There will be penalties if you don't. But do your payroll quarterly. Figure out what you think you're going to owe annually, and then just divide it by four and do your quarterly report. Now, there's a good reason for this, folks, too. Not only do you keep the IRS happy, but if you're me, I don't want to make a big deposit at the end of the year when I just dealt with Christmas or right before Christmas, and I don't have any extra money to throw at the IRS. Now, some of you may have a little savings account you've thrown the money in. Great. But if you haven't, doing it once a year could be a major financial disruption. So doing your payroll quarterly and doing your quarterly deposits actually makes your life more financially manageable. So, Chris, get on the quarterly plan. Yes, do your 941s. They're required. You will have penalties if you don't. And stay away from that once-a-year deposit. Big deal. last question. This came in from Judy from Chicago. She said, Mark, she heard my comments early on. If you were here at the very beginning of the show, I talked about the HSA, Health Savings Account Contribution. This is a follow-up question via email. She said, Mark, love the show. Thanks so much for all you do. And then she says, I'm going to paraphrase a little longer email, says, Mark, how much does it cost to open an HSA, and do I have to do it with my employer? I don't think they're going to let me self-direct. What are my options? Okay, so this is very important for many of you that maybe signed up for Obamacare this last month, and now you have a high deductible plan because you went for the cheaper premium, higher deductible. You may very well qualify for an HSA contribution this year. So for all of you listening, this could be a very helpful advice for you as well. Once you have a high deductible health care plan, you can set up your HSA anywhere you want. Go down to Bank of America or local credit union or Wells Fargo. Go online. You can set up your HSA free in many of these online bank websites. Set it up. Now, if you want to self-direct it, then you'll have to go to a self-directed custodian where you typically set up an IRA, and they'll set up an HSA for you. Typically, the cost to set up might be $40 or $50, but now you could self-direct that money and invest it to help pay for your future health care. So you have lots of options, folks. If you have a high-deductible health care plan under the new Obamacare Affordable Health Care Act provisions, consider the health savings account. It's a whole section in the back of my book, What Your CPA Isn't Telling You. And even though Obamacare came out after my book, he played right into it. I love it. And my book is still in accordance with what you can do with your HSA. Folks, thank you for listening. This has been just an incredible hour for me. It's an honor to be with you. Please know that I will be here every week, Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, live we're going to continue to have open forum shows and new guests, new topics. Please continue to listen, share this message, and take the link of the show and share it on your social network and let people know what it may be doing to help you in your life. I appreciate you spreading the good word and want to challenge you, don't give up. Keep living the American dream.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.